Certainly the asymmetric attacks, not only on the shipping lanes, JJ, but they also targeted two of our warships, if I'm correct, this week as well, is something that shows that the U.S. intelligence community and, in essence, the international intelligence community has to figure out a way to keep this shipping lane open. Look, it's about a 10,000-mile journey. If you have to divert and go around the Horn of Africa. And as you know, in the space of geopolitics, this is all about geography. They've got that choke point between Yemen and Ethiopia, and it's very easy to strike from. So the US has really got a difficult challenge in trying to hunt down these fighters that are doing this.
What role does intelligence play, U.S. and Western intelligence play in figuring this out?
Well, I think it's huge. I think it all begins with intelligence. I mean, without the tactical intelligence as to where these are being fired from, it becomes extraordinarily difficult. But it's my understanding that a lot of these are being fired in the back of Toyota pickup trucks, and then the terrorists just flee the area, so it's difficult to get their hands on. It's a challenging environment. I was out there a long time ago, and we've had persistent problems over the years in Yemen. You start looking at it just from a counterterrorism perspective. This is a hard operating environment to be saddled with.
Yeah, you were speaking about operations from a while ago. A lot of people were not around, and some who were may not remember that this is very close to a place called the Gulf of Aden. And the U.S. has a very important story in its history, tragically, that took place in the Gulf of Aden. I'm wondering if you would refresh us about that.
Sure. Of course, you're talking about the asymmetric attack by Al-Qaeda on the USS Cole, which was the big event. But I was also out in the 80s when we had a Libyan-backed terror group that had specifically targeted one of our State Department communications officers in Sana'a as well. And then we also had the U.S. Embassy rocketed in the late 80s or early 90s as well. So it's always been a hard target, JJ. We've always had a difficult time getting our hands around the area. It's very tribal, it's very rural. It's just a difficult kind of place to get a good handle on, in many ways, much like Afghanistan.
So the fact that Iran is known to be funneling essentially weapons and perhaps money and maybe even advisors into Ukraine to help the Houthis do this, from your perspective, what's the weak point? What's the weak spot of this group, and I guess maybe even the Iranians, that perhaps needs to be exploited?
Well, I think certainly with the death of these two sailors on this Barbados flagged ship, that's certainly going to cause, I think, a military response on specific target sets inside of Yemen as best we can from a tactical perspective. And probably a fair amount of drone usage as well would be my guess. But as you wind back the clock, the Iranians are playing chess here, JJ. And, for us to get a handle on this problem, we really need to think about not only what Iran's support is to this, we have to be able to try to take out their supply chain in some capacity and arming the Houthi rebels. And I don't think that's going to be an easy task at hand. We've always had a challenge when you start dealing with these organizations that, can hit and strike and retreat and hide. I would argue that probably the only way you're going to get a handle on this is to have boots on the ground, some sort of special forces kind of activity, which you start looking at our commitments around the globe. Do we have the resources to do this? Maybe in a coalition kind of environment with the Brits and the French, we can put our heads together and come up with something.
Last thing, Fred. It seems to me that you're right on point talking about this coalition. We just got out of one, I suppose, or maybe not necessarily out of it, the ISIS coalition in Syria and Iraq. That's still active, actually, although the work is not as intense as it is, as it was before. When you look at what's taking place in Yemen, because there's been a civil war going on there for a while, and there are other countries in the region that have issues with them as well, do you see that this coalition that you're talking about, or any kind of activity going in there, is this something that needs to be and should be led by the U.S.?
Well, that's a great question. You start looking at who could lead the charge here. You know, certainly I would think that we would want to, from a counterterrorism perspective. Having said that, that's easy for me to say outside of that environment now. You have to look at the bandwidth. You have to look at what's going on in Gaza. You know, what kind of support are we providing, you know, the Israeli IDF and the Mossad, for example, and just hunting down Hamas around the globe and so forth. So, you know, JJ, as you and I both know in this business, having been around it a long time, you know, there's the commitments that we have from a counterterrorism perspective just never go away. And they seem to keep growing. And you start looking at the conflicts that we're already engaged with, and I would argue, you know, do we have the bandwidth to be able to lead the charge there? Well, somebody's going to have to.
Fred Burton is Executive Director of Protective Intelligence at ONTIC. JJ Green, WTOP News.